in his kingdom. And we had read from Luke chapter 2, and I think we ended in about verse 21. You know, as we go through this, to me, going through it as a teacher, I mean, it's like a crescendo is building. And just when we get to a climactic part, we have to, like, the bell rings and continue the next week. But to me, it is exciting, and we're in a period where things are coming together just as God said they would. And so that's what we're in. We'll begin with Luke 2, verse 22. Okay, Luke 2, verse 22. Jesus had been born, and verse 22 reads, "And when the days of her purification," this would be Mary's purification, "according to the law of Moses, were accomplished," and how many days would that have been? Somebody know? Is it 30 or 40? 41? Okay. I knew it was, I always said 40, but I knew Barbara would know. What, and so what happened on the seventh or eighth day? Circumcised. And so it's the 45th day, 41st day, and they're going to the temple. So they brought him, and that would be the 41-day-old infant Jesus, to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And I believe that was the offering that the poor of Israel would offer. I think if you could, you were to offer a lamb or a goat, something like that. But so you remember, and do you think this was a day of that anybody would take special note of? It's interesting to me the phrase that is in Malachi, which we read, the third chapter, "And he shall suddenly come unto his temple." So here was a day. Probably a lot of young mothers were bringing their infant sons for this very same purpose. And yet, according to the law of Moses, after 400 years, the Lord is coming as an infant to his temple. And this is just to me how the Lord has worked his ways. We don't often see it progressing, but then all of a sudden it's fulfilled. There it is. And not too many paid attention, but some did. Luke 2:25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." That's an interesting phrase, the consolation of Israel. It's used several times in the Old Testament. And to me, it seems, what was the fate of Israel, the nation of Israel? Yeah, in 722, the Assyrians completely drove them out of their land, defeated them, and they were scattered abroad and never again obtained an identity. You know, there was a Sumerian people, but they were a group of mixed race, mixed nationalities people, hardly considered to be Israelites. But so their only consolation was to be through the Redeemer, the Messiah. Their hope would be in him. They lost their nation, but they can gain eternal life through him and be part of the kingdom of God. And that's kind of what the consolation of Israel would be, Jesus Christ. So Simeon was waiting for him there, and he was filled with the Spirit. verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's anointed. This servant that had been talked through centuries and centuries and centuries of time. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And that's just to me an outstanding phrase, which really from before the foundations of the earth and certainly to Eve and to Adam, this was revealed in part. And it's been unfolding, 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 generation after generation, year after year, unto many different people in many different ways. And now here it is. It's here. You know, and we're going to read it some in Matthew. We read in Matthew beginning in chapter 1, all those things that God had testified to years and years, centuries and centuries, millennia and millennia in advance are just unfolding before our very eyes. And it is a testimony to the divine power of God. That to me, the Holy Scriptures are just like the heavens declare the handiwork of God. So the Bible, the Scriptures reveal that this is divinely inspired. No man could tell that story and make it and be true. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And there's many places where Jesus is referred to as a stumbling block and a rock and an offense, but and to many, he was that. But to many, he was the foundation of the church, the kingdom of heaven, and the rock of salvation. So he is set for the fall and rising again of many. And that's important to remember. We will rise, we will fall, we will stand because of Jesus and our relationship to him. Period. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. So Jesus came with the power of the Holy Spirit and he did many remarkable and powerful things. Some believed, some did not. But that is a token of his righteousness and that he came from God. But he was reviled by many. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So the true nature of the Jewish rulers would be revealed in this. His own rejected him in spite of the many infallible proofs. And so there was Simeon and the things that he said. Now, we mentioned before that Jerusalem was not that big of a place. The temple grounds was not that big of a place. And so these things would have been heard by people. So things are going to build to me in a crescendo as we read through the first couple chapters of Matthew. We're going to see thing after thing come to pass. Here's another. There was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So, if you happen to be one of those people there at that time, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Interesting things to think about. I want to turn any question or comment. David.
Ed, can we go back up to verse 35? And I'd like you to comment on that where it says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
I think this is a general thing. I think it speaks to the death of Jesus. I think it speaks to what Mary might have felt at that moment. I think it speaks of the Spirit is a two-edged sword, able to discern the difference between minute things, and it reveals. You know, it's also called. It's like looking into a mirror, and we behold our true self from what we read and hear about, and so. Our unrighteousness, our wickedness is revealed, as well as are we in sync with the Word? Do we have a good conscience according to the Word? So it's a piercing thing, and I think it could mean all those things, or certainly one of those things. Do you have?
I was just wondering whether that was directed to Mary personally.
Well, I think it's one of those things that has a multitude of meanings. Yes.
Do all the trans up in verse 24, are all translations, do they just say a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons?
King James does. I don't know the
other. Okay. Because the law was to bring a lamb a year old, you know, for a sacrifice. I find it interesting that part is left out.
Yeah.
I've got a note here that says Mary's lamb, Jesus, was the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she did bring the lamb of God. But it also allows, depending on your financial state, to offer the other. But yeah, they left that out.
I guess I want to say that I'm really proud of Mary in this. I'm not sure that if I had a baby of 41 days and this crazy man came up to me, I would let him hold the baby. But so she had faith. She was so strong in just handing her baby over to him so that he could be blessed. And then with the sword piercing her soul, I think when she saw Jesus die on the cross, that sword pierced her soul too.
I think it has multiple meanings. And that probably wasn't the only time her soul was pierced.
Yeah. I've always kind of wondered in verse 33, after they were heard these words, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, I've always wondered why they would marvel. She knew who he was. She knew how he came and all that. But then as you read the words that they just heard, it talks about the revelation to the Gentiles. And that could have made them think, what's going on? This is the Savior for us, the Jews, you know. But now they're talking about the Gentiles. So maybe that was kind of a marvel of what they were thinking about a little bit more.
Yeah, and we read about that a little bit in our reading last week about being a light unto the Gentiles as well. Bill.
I think one of the things in verse 35, when it says the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, it's going to be the Jews, the thoughts of the hearts of the Jews that are going to crucify the Lord, that's going to be revealed the true true nature and what they're thinking. And
yeah.
That's at least part of the revealing of the heart,
yes,
I think.
I do too. I do too. And I think that's one of the true meanings of that. The comment about Joseph and Mary marveling at these things, I don't find that strange, in that I kind of marvel at things after being part of the body for 60 years, that I still marvel at some of the things. I get real excited about archaeology and the things that we continue to dig up, which verify the scriptures. I marvel at those things, and sometimes I'll come to a scripture that especially touches my heart, and I marvel at those things of how God is so good. It's just, I don't think you just say that once and it's over. I think I continue to marvel, even though I know and many of these things are very familiar. Sometimes I'm just struck. Any other comments? Very good. Okay. Let us turn to Matthew, this second chapter. That's where we're going to read. And Matthew's very good, and so are the others. Here's, to me, a very rewarding way is to go through, especially the Gospels, but any book, and note the prophecies and go back and look at them. And just in the first couple chapters of Matthew, much of God's prophetic word is coming to pass. And it seems like, you know, even the Jews in Malachi were saying, okay, where's your judgment? Where is this Messiah? Where is he? And, you know, Peter talked in his day, you know, maybe in the 60 AD some range, somewhere in there, that people were beginning to say, where's the sign of he's coming? You said he's coming. Where is it? And so this is with common, but God's got a time schedule. And with Daniel, he told us the schedule. You know, we spent a couple weeks on the 70 weeks or the 77s and the 490 years. And you remember about what year the Lord would begin to confirm the covenant with Israel? About 26 AD. And we're going to be reading some things about that. But in the first chapter of Matthew, we have the genealogy of Christ, and much of it was predicted, foretold, who would be in the lineage. So in here we have that he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and he is the Son of David. All these things noted in the record there in the temple. When he came on that 41st day, these things would have been written down. So let's just begin in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And if we turn to Micah, the fifth chapter and the second verse, we find that's exactly what Micah predicted through the Holy Spirit, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. So what did these wise men say, ask of Herod? Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And if we turn to Numbers 24 and verse 17, there was a man who was sent to curse the Israelites, but instead he gave a blessing. And one of these things was that a star should rise out of Judah. And we find in Matthew chapter 1 that one of the ancestors of Jesus was Judah, one of the 12 sons, the tribe of prominence, and prominence in Israel. And we talked about what else should not depart from Judah. A star shall rise. What about a scepter? Should not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. So here's some things happening. Verse 3, and when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Judea with all Jerusalem with him. So this is a small place, really, when we think of it's not like New York City, but it's even though a large city, it's not all that small. So things did not happen in a vacuum. They probably were maybe just a little bit faster than television or telegraph or telecell phone or telewoman, that type of thing. They happened and people got wind of it. And they didn't sit in their houses in a little dark room with the computer screen. They were mingled together. They probably bought groceries practically on a daily basis. We didn't have refrigerators. And so people were mingling. They were going to get a piece of meat or some vegetables or produce or trade something. Some wares, some baskets, and so pottery and so forth. So, they talked. They talked about the news of the day. And it's interesting, on the road to Emmaus, there was a couple men, and what were they doing? They were talking about the recent events that happened in Jerusalem, and that, you know, this is the third day. Maybe, is it going to happen? What's this all about? So that's how it was. So things spread that way, and they spread very fast and very efficiently. So, verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And where would you turn to? The Scriptures. You want to verify truth? Go to the Scriptures. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, my words, Micah, verse 6, but thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. So it was a very small city, but it would be prominent in Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I'm going to turn to Isaiah this time and read a passage in the 60th chapter. Isaiah would have lived in the 7th century B.C., so about 700 years or more before Christ was born. And this is a great chapter. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And so we know the story of the shepherds, the wise men, and so all these people flooding. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. And to me, that has always, the Isle of the Gentiles, this was a reference to that. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And the shepherds did that, and angels did that at the birth of Jesus, and now these wise men as well. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So this is the way of deliverance. Verse 13. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And, you know, there is a psalm, I think it's the second one, "Why did the heathen rage? Pardon? Yes. Well, let's turn to that, because to me, that's a remarkable story in itself. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." So this is something that has happened, well, at least since the days of Nimrod. Nimrod, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and not to say the least, the nation of Israel and rulers of that nation as well. "Be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" And you can find that in the book of Hosea, the 11th chapter and the first verse. You know, isn't it remarkable how just these little things spoken to many maybe out of context, and people wondering, angels wondered about how this was all going to unfold and what was it all about. And I'm sure some people did too. But here, you know, in about 6 B.C. to 4 B.C., here it is. It's come to pass. Just suddenly. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." So the wise men must have told him. Herod died in 4 B.C. So sometime before 4 B.C. this happened. Evidently, approximately 2 years before, at least. So, in the range of 6 B.C., and that's probably about the time Jesus might have been born. Verse 17, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah there a voice heard lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not.'" And so this was recorded in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter in the 15th verse. Ramah was a city very near to Bethlehem. It was the city in a lot really happened there with Samuel and Saul, and Rachel was buried there, Genesis 35:16. In fact, that really gives a good description. Oh, Genesis 35:16. You know, to me, this is one of the verses. Well, what's Ramah? How does that prove anything? Well, Genesis 35:16, and they departed from Bethel, and Bethel was just very near Jerusalem as well. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, Bethlehem Ephratah. So all very close. And Rachel prevailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Fear not, thou shalt have a son." And she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And in verse 19, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. So these places were just all right there, very close. And so this great lamentation from the city of Rachel. How many died? I don't know. But the simultaneous death of infants 2 years old and younger would have caused a great wailing. And that's what was prophesied of the Lord. Part of the wrath of kings vented against the Lord and his anointed. And it's coming to pass in such a very hard way. Verse 19, Matthew 2. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So Galilee would have been north of Judea, out of the reign of Herod the Great and his son. And verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." So here's one of these things that often puzzled me, the origin of this. And obviously, it has to do, because by the Holy Spirit, Matthew being inspired or directed by the Holy Spirit, connected these two things. And it's, to me, it could be a possibility that he is called the branch, which is from a Hebrew, Netzer, N-E-T-S-R. And so maybe it's kind of a play on things, a Netzerine, a Nazarene. There, you know, a lot of our, we speak like that sometimes in our talking together. But he is the branch or the root and so forth. But anyway, it's connected here. And does anyone have a comment on that? That's the best I could come with that. Okay, and that ends that chapter. And it begins the third chapter, and I'm just going to read the first few verses. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So, to me, that's one of those things, if you're a Jew listening to this, and you have some scriptural savvy, this has got to really touch you and stir a lot of feelings. And, of course, a lot of those feelings were misconceptions. And we know that even of his closest circle, they had misconceptions. They were thinking of kingdoms and territories to rule and conquer, and armies to lead. And, you know, who's going to be on the right? Who's going to be on the left? And this and that. And so a lot of misconceptions among the Jews and his disciples. But the preaching of the kingdom was about to begin. And John began that. Here's where we should have about a 5-minute crescendo of stuff. The story of the shepherds coming, the visit of the wise men from the east, and all that talk going around, the buzz in Jerusalem, the visit of the wise men to the east. Do you think Mary and Joseph's neighbors noticed this? I think so. The ominous appearing of the star that was seen from the east. It's what Simeon and Anna said in the temple when Jesus was brought there. The things that happened in Bethlehem, that little smart thing, the shepherds, and you know that, angels were singing in the fields, and I don't know how that appeared from Bethlehem, but that would have been talked about, and these shepherds talked about it. The death of all those babies in Bethlehem, the trek to Egypt and the return, and the dwelling in Nazareth, in the places of the north in Zebulun and Naphtali, where it was prophesied that this would be where that great light would shine forth from. Nazareth was smack dab in that area. And what happened when Jesus was brought to the temple and all that was beginning? And at about 12 BC, a young 12-year-old appeared into the temple, an outstanding young man who was able to hold his own with the wisest men of Israel. And there he is suddenly in his temple. So we'll continue next week.